Self-Denial Required in the Missionary by Mrs. E.G. White, circa 1894. He who engages in the work of God and is thoroughly devoted to that work will not become dwarfed or stationary in his religious life, but will make earnest efforts to become a successful missionary, improving every opportunity, employing all his powers to advance step by step in practical Christian life. He will not slumber. He will not allow his faculties to rust from inaction, but he will be constantly moving forward and upward. He will not be boastful of his attainments, but will say with Paul, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, verse 12-14. With the apostle, he will press forward for more clear, distinct views of Jesus, that by beholding, he may be changed into his likeness from character to character. The true missionary for God will possess spiritual life, and will go forward from one state of knowledge and improvement to another. He will have for his object the salvation of souls, and his influence will have a telling effect upon those with whom he comes in contact. He will be a learner in the school of Christ, and will thus be fitted for the work of God. There is a great work to be done in the vineyard of the Lord, for the field is the world. Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are 4 months, and there cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." John 4, verse 35-36. But while there is so great a work to be done, yet those who believe themselves called to this work should examine themselves by prayer and the Word of God, that they may understand what is required of the missionary. Have they such a realization of the importance of the work that they are willing to separate from them that which is as dear as is the right eye or the right arm? If the missionary has decided to follow inclination to gratify selfish propensities, to walk in the sparks of his own kindling, God forbid that he should be sent to foreign lands, for he will dishonor God and bring his cause into disrepute. Those who profess to be followers of Christ should daily consecrate themselves to him, giving themselves to God without reservation, following the commands of His Word as implicitly as though they heard a voice from heaven directing them. They should study the living oracles and make the standard of the Bible their standard. Then will they place upon the work a Christ-like mold. Those who are conforming their characters to the character of Christ will give to others an example of what is required of them, for the works of a true follower of Christ will harmonize with his profession of faith. There are many who profess to have faith in Christ, and yet they do not come into vital contact with him. They admire him at a distance, but they do not deny inclination or make any sacrifice to become like him in works and character. No one can do successful missionary work who does not feel his dependence upon Christ, and who does not realize that no man liveth unto himself. There is a necessity of close connection between the worker and the Savior, for the human agent is to become a partaker of the divine nature. He is to be a laborer together with God to become one with Jesus. He must feed upon the Word of God, knowing it to be the bread of life. He is to lean upon Christ, who has made unto him wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Moment by moment, he must abide in Christ, for without Christ, he has no power to resist and overcome temptation. The religion of Christ is to be set forth before the people. But if the missionary has failed to bring his habits, his practices, into harmony with the principles of truth, if he gives no evidence that he has power from above whereby he may be an overcomer, he has no right to be as one sent forth to teach the people. He who accepts the responsibility of going to a foreign field at great expense to the General Conference should not be, by his own selfish passions, create such a condition of affairs in his family as will hinder him from doing the very work for which he was commissioned. He should not burden himself and wife with extra cares that will compel his attention, so that he shall have to appeal to the conference for help saying that his wife and children demand more of his time and care and money than he can give, and yet carry on his missionary work. Before family cares of this character are taken on by the missionary, he should carefully consider the cost and see if, as one who must give an account for souls, he can afford to have a large family. If the missionary decides to follow the dictates of inclination and bring into the world a large family of children, then his calling is plain, for he must, as husband and father, care for his little ones. He must not leave the whole burden upon an uncomplaining wife. Let them enter some business where they need not be separated in the family life, that they may together bear the self-imposed burden. Let them with fidelity train up their little ones for God, and not neglect this duty, thus setting a perilous example before the church and the world, leaving the children to follow the works of Satan. Better far that your children should have never been born than left to the temptations of the evil one. Let the father and mother take hold of their duty, and do it to the best of their ability, presenting to the world a well-ordered household. But do not think to be successful missionaries in foreign lands while half your time, your thoughts, your powers are drawn away from the work. How can the missionary workers be laborers together with God unless they are models of disinterested love, having sacrificed every idol? Why is it that missionaries do not plan their life work after the example that has been given them in Christ? They should labor patiently, putting all their faculties and powers to the very highest use. Deviation from the path of self-denial will make of no effect the most eloquent words. Christ is seeking to draw the world to himself, and those who volunteer to be missionaries must have an eye single to the glory of God, or they cannot be agents through whom the Lord can complete his work. How can the Lord be pleased with the offering made to him when it is tainted with self? It is love to God that will lead men to act wisely, to control the evil passions, and bring the body under. For the love of God will be found superior to the desire for sensual gratification. For Jesus' sake, men may be led to practice self-denial, and will fear lest they take unfair advantages of the privileges of married life. It is a fact that many do not rightly understand what it is to keep their marriage vows in purity. They do not seem to comprehend the object for which they were created. Some wives seem to imagine that the chief object of their lives is to gratify every desire of their husband without question, without reference to the physical and moral influence that will result. When true light shines into the heart, the wife will see that her chief joy is to be in Christ, in fulfilling the object for which she was created, to glorify God in all her actions. God claims the wife's service as well as the husband's, and love to Christ will no wise lessen her affection for her husband, but will sanctify her love. The husband who only lives to please himself, to indulge his love, the husband who lives to please himself, to indulge his passions, has not the right quality of love. His thoughts are not brought into captivity to Jesus, for earthliness and sensuality debase the soul. But if you abide in Christ, your experiences will all be of a healthful nature. You will have that true love which beareth all things, hopeth all things, believeth all things. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. He who is truly Christ's will manifest meekness and truth in his character, and his very countenance will be changed, for he reflects the likeness of his Savior. But how can he whose character is earthly and sensual preach to others the necessity of purity? How can he bring sinners to Christ when his own nature has not been transformed? He who indulges self will neglect the missionary work, and heaven will look upon a waste of moral and physical power. The world is selfish, self-indulgent, and how can we expect to reclaim the world to God unless we stand in advance of its spirit and practices? Christians must stand in contrast to the world. They must have the spirit of Christ, have tender consciences, and pure hearts. They are to feel, I am not my own. I am sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, and I must reveal in my actions true Christian consistency by devoted service to God.